Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. We're moving into a different season now. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be bringing a series of messages based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And so, in the run-up to Christmas Eve, we're going to be speaking about all the characteristics of who Jesus Christ is. And you're going to be blessed, because we're going to have some wonderful people sharing as well. And so, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to all the different perspective, because God is mighty to me in a different way than he's mighty to Joe. You know, God does mighty things in my life. Other people need, you know, God is, he will just do for you exactly what you need. So God is mighty to me, yeah, and he'll be mighty to you in maybe another area of your life. But whatever you need him to be mighty in, he will be. And he's a peace to me in a different way that maybe he's a peace to you. But he is the Prince of Peace. Amen? And so we're going to do this. And so our verse for that, let me just read that out this morning. And I'd encourage you guys to, if you use an iPad or a notepad, make a list of these different messages, keep them all in one place so that you can revisit them and so that you can teach them to others in the future. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen? And today, I'm going to bring the first one, and it's going to be on A Son is Given. All right? You ready for that? Yes. Okay. So we're going to look at a little bit of the context of things. You know, I discovered that when you're preparing for stuff, everything is useful. Everything is useful when you're, you know, some things in life we don't think they're of much use. But sometimes the things we have to do surrounding something like preparing for a message or preparing for something else, the things that we have to do are useful things. And they teach us disciplines that we have to get into that I think should become habits in our lives. Because sometimes we try and take the shortcut to what we think the most useful thing is. And we think other things, well, we don't really need that, but we need the whole process sometimes. And so we need to do our due diligence as Christians, as students of the Word. We need to study God's Word, meditate on it, and not look for shortcuts at all. Amen? So everything is useful. And I find that when studying the Word, everything is useful. And when you start to put things in context, all the things that you learn as a byproduct of trying to explain something in context is another revelation to you in itself. And that's the great thing about, that's why sometimes when it's hard, you think, oh, and I'm going to go and I'm going to try and study for half an hour or an hour. And the first bit is a little bit tough. And then after 10 minutes, there's a revelation that comes out of your study. It's like, next minute, I'm enjoying this. I could just sit here and keep on going because there's new stuff happening. So I want to put this in a bit of context this morning. The man who's prophesying here is Isaiah, obviously. And he was one of the four major prophets in the Bible. There were many minor prophets, but he was one of the major prophets. And it was his task to go to the kingdom of Judah with, number one, a warning. He had to go and warn them about their state of decay, their state of rottenness that they were in. And that was his job. His life was turned around. Basically, God cleaned up his life and then says, I'm going to use you to go to to Judah, and you're going to bring this message from me to them. The second thing that he went to say to them was, you know, God is a God that will forgive you and deliver you. So the place that you're in right now doesn't have to be it. There's an opportunity for you to move on. Isn't that a good thing? So he tells them, listen, God will abandon you if you don't repent and return to right standing with him. He'll abandon you. And that was, these prophets were oracles in that time. And they were the voice of God to the nation. And you had to pay careful attention to them, amen? And so they were God's major means of communication. And God chose these people to speak through. So they were God. They were like, that's the voice of God that you're hearing when they spoke, amen? And in those times, prophecy was like the daily bread for the people. That was their daily bread. And the prophecies also shone a light on where they were at, amen? And they got their direction from prophecy, from the prophets. They were comforted by the prophets. They were chastised by the... So these words of prophecy were important to them, amen? They were just like us. We need a lot of direction and a lot of comfort. We need lots of direction and we need comfort too. But thank God we now have the Word of God here, and we have the victory that Jesus won for us. But so anyway, let's put this in context a little bit. So it's just like the world out there. They need direction. They need comfort. There are millions of people out there that need comfort. As many people as you see that seem to have it all together and everything is hunky-dory, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands more that need comfort, that are in a tough place, that are really struggling with life. And so I've no doubt in my mind the world definitely doesn't have everything figured out. It doesn't. They don't have all the answers. Our government doesn't have all the answers, and we should pray for them. And we'll pray for them this evening, part of our corporate prayer. We pray for those in authority over us. And that's a commandment, amen? So this nation of Judah, they were in troubled times. This is putting it in context. They were the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom had already been defeated by the Syrians, and the southern kingdom were in dire straits. And the word says that they were in dark times, that they were like dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. How much more grim could you be? It was like they were on the verge of an impending catastrophe. Amen? So Isaiah had to go to them. And you know, for a long time, they enjoyed abundant communication from God, the nations. The nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah, whatever you want to call them, because the prophecies were flowing, amen. They had God's direction as to what they should do. They had scripture, they had scrolls, and they had prophecy, and that's how they navigated their way ahead. And one of the things that prophecy did for them was it kind of gave them the satisfaction of knowing how long they were going to have to be in that season of time. It's, in other words, how long is this going to last? And very often the prophets would be able to say, well, it's going to last until this happens, or it's going to last until that happens, or it's going to last until you do this. How many of us would like to know how long things are going to last for? How long? How long are things going to take? But things were beginning to change. And in Psalm 74, verse 9 and 10, in the New King James Version, guys, it's all, thank you, guys, it's all New King James Version today. Psalm 74, verse 9 and 10, it says, "We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever?" You know, the southern tribe of Judah, they were surrounded by some very strong and aggressive neighbors, okay? But they were also caught up in their own problems. So I'd basically say that insecurity was pretty high. They had the threat of what was going on around them, and they had the threat that they brought on themselves by their own low living. So they were very insecure. And so they're like saying, they're asking, how long? And it seems like at that time, there was no one telling them how long it was going to be. Yeah? So In the context of our time here and now, how many people out there are wondering, how long? How long do I have to go through this season? How long am I going to be in this job for before I get the job I desire? How long am I going to be, will I have to put up with this infirmity in my body, all of these different things? So people that want to know how long need a messenger. And they need a message. Amen? And we need to take, we can take that message out there. We are the messengers. Amen. In our context right now, we're the messengers and we have a message and we can tell people, we can say, just like the prophets did, if you will, then this will happen. So you can say to people, your circumstances in life can change completely if you will come to the Lord, if you'll give your life, if you will be born again unto him. The same way as he was born unto us. Amen. Isn't that good? And in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, Amos, one of the major prophets, minor prophets, big prophets, small prophets. Amos, some of them, when you're looking for them, if you don't know your books of the Bible, you flick around a bit because there's only a few pages. They always catch you out. They always catch you out. That's why we should have paid attention when we were learning to sing that song that reminded us of all the books of the Bible. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Amen? Not a famine of bread, not that you're going to get hungry for bread or water, but you're going to get hungry for the word of the Lord because it's not going to be there. All right? And the word tells us about times when people are going to be running all over the place, coast to coast, sea to sea, everywhere, seeking a word from the Lord. Have you heard that before? And actually, Brother Dale Gentry, who's a friend of the church, he puts out a daily podcast sometimes, and it's called, "Is There Any Word from the Lord?" Is there any word from the Lord? You know, we need God's word. We need to hear his word. I'm going to, you know, just explain how important it is. You know, it didn't say that there would be a famine of reading God's word. It said there would be a famine of hearing God's word. This is pretty important where we're going with this morning. So it's talking about a spiritual famine. Without God's word, which is our daily bread, what will happen? We'll starve, right? Without God's word, we starve. We starve spiritually. And as I said there just now, it's not a famine of reading the word; it's a famine of hearing. And in the Old Testament, it says that the word of the Lord would be precious and scarce. There shall be no vision. And if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the story of Samuel and Eli, the word there says, it said the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. So there are times when we don't hear the revelation or the word that we need to hear. And I believe people, do you ever sense that sense of panic sometimes when you know you need to hear something, but you don't know where to find it? And so I think that's one of the traps of the end times, of the latter days, is that the people will have itching ears. And they'll want to hear a word of the Lord, and they'll go anywhere to find it. But sometimes they'll walk right into a trap, and they'll be fed the wrong word. Amen? So it says that they shall have the written word. They'll have Bibles to read, but no ministers to explain and apply it to them. There'll be water in the well, but nothing to draw the water with. Yeah? But by the grace and mercy of God, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, it says, "Their ears heard a voice behind them saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it.'" Don't go to the left or to the right. This is the way. When you hear it, just walk in that. And so, you know, God is still merciful in that he'll send someone or a word into your life. We need to listen to it. Amen. There was like after Malachi, after the book of Malachi, there were actually no prophets for a long time. There wasn't much going on in that realm. It was like there was a kind of a darkness, and that's, I believe, what led to the blindness that Israel had in the days of the Messiah, in the days of Jesus. It was like there was a veil on their heart, you know, over their heart, and that's why they were unbelieving. It's like Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And although he's speaking about that in that present tense, it was still also to happen. And when Jesus came, they didn't believe it. They rejected the gospel. And they reject the ministers that bring the message too. And so it's like there's a few weeks ago we spoke about that veil over our hearts that stops us from seeing the truth. And so we need to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. And so we need to hear God's word. You know, we can read God's word a lot, but not hear what God is saying to us. So that's why we need the eyes of our understanding, and we need the eyes of our spirit open, to be wide open, so that we actually, otherwise I can read reams of the word, but not have a clue about what it's saying to me at all. You understand what I'm saying? So there was a message in Isaiah, and the message was, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I believe that this whole series of messages about Jesus is going to bring hope to the hopeless. It's going to bring help to the helpless. It's going to bring direction to the directionless. And I believe on the run-up to Christmas, I'm believing that there'll be an encouragement, that the Holy Spirit will encourage you, and that you'll encourage each other to actually begin to share these messages. And because sometimes this is a really easy message. Let me go a bit further. We've got the word, amen, gives us comfort, gives us hope in our times of trouble. And it tells us that Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus is coming back soon. That is the message. That is the message. Jesus is coming back soon. And so I believe, when I was meditating on this yesterday, I believe that 2018 is going to be a year of sowing and sharing. Sowing and sharing. Sowing this message that Jesus is coming back. Telling people about the character of Jesus. So next year, I see us sow, all right? Reap, share, repeat. Sow, reap, share, repeat. It's a cycle. Sowing and reaping, amen? When we sow out there, when we sow into people's lives, we will reap a harvest. That'll bring the increase. We share the increase. And we repeat the whole cycle again. Does that sound like a plan? He's got great things in store for this church. He's got great things in store for the church in the latter days. Amen? And we do, unfortunately, get caught up in all sorts of calamities and stuff. And we can sometimes go into a state of mourning about what's kind of coming against us in our lives. But we've got to remind ourselves of God's promises. We've got to keep on reminding ourselves of the promises of God, and we've got to tell others about the promise that Jesus is coming back again. Amen. And we've got to hold fast to his word. Amen. Before we changed the name of the church to the Bridge Church, we were the Cornerstone Church since 1987. That just, you know, his word, he is the cornerstone of our lives. He is the strength. He gives everything structure. He gives everything strength. And he'll make you so that you won't be pushed, shoved around. Amen? Do you believe that? You won't be like the little kid in the playground who's getting bumped around all the time. Because when you know that God is for you, then nothing can stand against you. Amen? So, God's always been more concerned with the purity of his people than their general prosperity. And in Isaiah, he's calling them back, first of all, to purity. He's saying, you're in a total mess. You need to get right with God. You need to repent and get in right standing with God. I believe that true prosperity, amen, in every sense of the word, follows purity. So when we concentrate on purity first, prosperity in every sense of the word, I'm not just talking about financial prosperity, I'm talking about prosperity in your whole man, in your whole life. I believe that prosperity flows in a huge way when we address the purity in our lives. And this is what the prophets came to do often. They came and said, you guys need to come back. You need to purify yourselves. And so I believe that we're going to go through a phase now of purifying ourselves. I believe that, and that takes place in our daily lives, but it takes place corporately too. I'm looking forward to Men's Camp 2018. I believe it's going to be like rocket boosters will be on, and I believe that we're going to have a great encounter on Men's Camp. But you don't have to wait until Men's Camp or whatever. The ladies have got some stuff organized for next year, but we definitely need to concentrate on that. And God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, that's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's prosperity. That is God. That's the prosperity of the Lord. If you're willing and obedient, if you're willing to surrender your life and clean your life up and purify your life, you will eat. You will eat the good of the land. Everything that you put your hand to, every book you write will be a success in the name of Jesus. Every job interview you go to will be an open door in the name of Jesus. And all we need to do, it's like just focus on that purity. Focus on that. And that purity leads us on to how do we obtain that? Jesus, given to us. Given to us so that we could stand as the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. So let's have a look at Jesus, the gift to us, to the world, amen, to every man. I believe that one of the stumbling blocks or misconceptions that people have about Jesus relates to his humanness. Jesus was fully human, amen. He was fully God, but his humanity is one of the keys that we have to explain well to other people so that they can understand and relate to his life and what he achieved for us. We have to be good at explaining the humanity of Jesus. Do you believe that? He is deity, he was divine. We need to tell people that, but we need to explain to people so that they can identify, you know, Jesus was just like me. I believe there's a powerful revelation in that. So I think more so in the sense that Jesus was a living example. Amen? His humanity had the same natural limits and boundaries as we have. Do you believe that? Was Jesus subject to the law of gravity? Yes. When he was cut, did he bleed? Yes. When sickness tried to come on his body, did it try and come on his body? Yes. Yet everything that we went through, he went through. Amen? So he was subject to the same natural limits and boundaries as us. But it wasn't an obstacle to the almighty power of God that time after time was manifest through his life through signs, wonders, and miracles. So no matter what came against him, the same as what comes against us, he was still able to perform signs, wonders, and miracles by the power of God that was in him. Amen? That's great news. Another powerful revelation of Jesus' life was that because of his deity, all right, He was not subject to the circumstances present in his time. He was fully God. And there were circumstances that would try and change the course of his life. But if you look in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, it tells you there, Jesus decided when to lay down his life. He decided when he would do what? He says, I'll decide when I lay down my life, and I'll decide when I take it back again. I'll decide when it's time for this, and I'll decide when it's time for that. So do you understand the power that was in that? Amen? So if we've received the life and fullness of Jesus Christ, the gift to us, and we can tell people out there that, what does it mean? In the same way, it means that natural circumstances not only don't need to overwhelm us, but can't overwhelm us. We're not helpless. Amen? We know that affliction comes. We know that we were praying in the car this morning about the testing of our faith. The testing of our faith produces all sorts of good things. Patience, you know, good character, all these things. Our faith is tested. But, you know, do you know that your natural circumstances, they don't have to get the better of you when you realize who you are in Jesus Christ? Amen? So that's great. A man called, anyone who likes quotes will love this one. A man called Charles Jones said, there are only two kinds of people to talk things over with. People who have done what you want to do and those who have paid the price you want to pay. Isn't that amazing? If you want to have a talk with somebody about your life and where you are, talk to Jesus. Because he's already gone and done what he wants you to do, and he's already paid the price that he wants you to pay. He's already done it. Who better to go to than someone? If I want to go to Everest Base Camp, then I'll phone our friend Tony Smith because he's been to Everest Base Camp. And I'll say, Tony, what was it like to get to Everest Base Camp? Tony's one of the fittest fellas that I know. He's even fitter than Joe. I mean, so he's mega fit. And it was hard. He was sick and exhausted. If I want to know what price I have to pay and what I need to do, I'm going to go and talk that over with someone who knows what they're talking about, not to someone that's going to tell me what they think. Amen? So we've got to be careful who we listen to. We've got to be careful about who we let speak into our. Don't let your ears be trash cans for other people's negativity. Amen? So that's a real statement. We understand the Trinity, amen? We understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We understand that Jesus is deity. He's divine. He's royal. We understand that he was the seed of a woman conceived by the Holy Spirit, amen? But he became totally like us. Do you know, this is interesting when I was looking at this. He didn't need to descend from a royal dynasty. He's our king, amen? Jesus is our king. But we know that the word says he was called the son of David. That's the bloodline, okay? But the messianic promise, okay? Remember, this morning we're talking about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, Jesus. The messianic promise goes through specifically two of David's sons, all right? One was Solomon, and the other one was Nathan, okay? Good names. Joseph, Jesus' father, descended from Solomon. He was the legal father of our Lord Jesus, amen? But Mary, Jesus' mom, she was descended from Nathan. Did you know that? And Nathan's line, his side, was the non-reigning line from David, not the chief royal line from Solomon. And it started to speak to me about this. So it was like the one side was the legal side, the royal bloodline, and the other side was more organic. And I found that very interesting because God's always trying to lead us to his heavenly kingdom, but man's striving for earthly kingdom. And if you look at a lot of, you know, on the royal side, they all experienced some terrible downfalls. But then Jesus comes through Mary via Nathan from David on the non-royal side. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. What's it saying? It's saying Jesus effectively becomes ordinary so that we can become kings and priests. Jesus becomes totally human, it doesn't feel right to say ordinary, because Jesus was extraordinary. But he became total flesh, and he was a living example for us. And when we get the reality of that, that God is leading us to a heavenly kingdom, and the earthly kingdoms, this is just vain. And that's what the prophet said a lot of the times. Listen, don't get caught up in all this earthly stuff. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen? Jesus made himself of no reputation. The word says he's been just like us in our weaknesses. And he experienced, you know, the wounds of life just like we do. He experienced betrayal. Did he experience betrayal? He experienced grief. He experienced sadness. He experienced all of these things. So he has been just like us in our weaknesses. What's that scripture that says he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses? I'm not sure where that scripture is. But I'm like, wow. When you can explain that to people, the humanity of Jesus, and say, do you know how much Jesus was like you? And you explain what Jesus went through in his life. I think that sends a message to people. Because people get a misconception of Jesus from the manger. Because they sometimes have an impression that Jesus is frail and he was feeble and he was, you know, he was skinny with a scrawny beard and stuff. I don't believe that. But Jesus was strong. Jesus was a joiner. He was a joiner. He was a carpenter. Jesus could hold his own. I believe he was strong. I believe the strength inside him exuded out of him. I believe Jesus was attractive. And people, wherever he went, people were drawn to him. And that's why when we address the purity issues in our life, I believe people start to be attracted to you. Aye, aye, aye. People start to be attracted to you because you become transparent. You become transparent. There's nothing hidden there. And it's an attractive thing to people when there's an openness. Amen? And I believe that the pain that Jesus experienced as a man, it became the generator. It became like the motor of his life for compassion to give back to us. I just think he took the pain and it was like a generator that turned that converted it into love. It was like the pain love generator. It's like the pain that he felt, it was just like woof, went in there and was generated and came back out as love and compassion. Amen. We always relate pain with negativity. We identify pain with negative things, a lot of negative things. I'm gonna avoid it at all costs. I've learned my lesson on that one. I'm gonna do everything I can to avoid that pain again. I don't wanna feel that kind of pain again ever. But I don't know about you guys, but in recent times, I found that some of the painful things that we've gone through have ignited growth inside me. Yeah? It was an ignition for growing. It was an ignition for maturing. It was an ignition for realizing that I don't have to stay in that place affected by the pain. I can use that pain to grow. You've probably all heard that before 100 times in a different ways from people. Pain, you know, just no pain, no gain, isn't it? That's what they say. Yeah. But we've got to trust God with our past and our future. We've got to entrust Him with past memories and our future dreams and ambitions. We've got to entrust God with them. Amen. We've got to just give them to God. Amen. Go to John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says there, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, we're looking at Jesus' life here this morning, how the reality of His life as a man, as a human man, where, you know, what He did, what He went through, where He was born. You know, He was born in Bethlehem. You know, there was nothing really exceptional about Bethlehem. Pastor Gary and Sarah went to Bethlehem. And has anyone been to Bethlehem? Oh, okay. What they said Bethlehem's not such I have a vision of walking into Bethlehem, but they said it's not what you think. What's it like, Fred? What's it, Bethlehem? Just like a little town, or
very very compact, and it's also the Arab side.
Yes.
So that's the first shop. You see a big poster of Arafat on the wall.
Yes.
And it's more active on Friday because the Arabs are going to the mosque, so you don't see that.
Okay.
Environment there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need, when you get there, you need to build your own inner faith to really experience that Christ was born in Bethlehem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great description. Sorry, Air, that went off the live stream there. But so you're walking in there with the impression that, well, Jesus was born here. So I'm walking into an environment of where Christ was born, but it's, you don't experience that because of the present circumstances. From your heart. Amen. So it says there in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, the coming about talking about Jesus. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And we know that Jesus was the Word. Right at the beginning, He was the Word breathed that brought creation into life. So Jesus has always been there. Amen. And but there's another message in that. No matter where you come from, you can rule and reign with Jesus. You know, Jesus came out of Bethlehem to rule and to reign. But no matter where you come from, and I remember the prophecy that was spoken over the church years ago in Isaiah 56, I think it says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Kilwinning's been on the map, world map, for lots of reasons. But Kilwinning can be on the world map for a totally different reason. Do you believe that? In fact, there was, I can't remember just now, but Pastor Mark said this years ago. He was at a church somewhere when he was in the States visiting, and someone mentioned a small church in a small town in Scotland on the corner. Do anyone remember that? That Mark was talking about that? And immediately, this was a prayer or something or a prophecy that was happening in the church that he was in. And these people began speaking about Scotland, about a small church on the corner in a small town in Scotland. And Mark immediately, he knew that they were talking about our church. And so the journey's not over yet. Amen. A little one will become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And so there's a message of hope there. No matter where you come from, you know, there's people that think, I want to get out of Co-Winning. Just give me a chance. I'm out of here. You know, there are people that want to leave because they feel that there's nothing going here. But I believe that that's going to change. Amen. Because, you know, we can generate something here that is an attraction that holds people here. Amen. And then they can get sent out and they can get launched off into all different places all over the world from here. Amen. So I think sometimes we leave out one of the most powerful reasons for the why of Jesus when we're witnessing to people. Amen. And I think maybe sometimes we need to lead in much more quickly with this, amen, this why. And this is Jesus's, I'm going to read this as Jesus's very own statement for the reason he came here. Okay, so when you're talking to someone, you know, sometimes we waste too much time. We need to get in there with the why of Jesus first. And in John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come? So that we could have life and life more abundantly. He came to give us life in all of its fullness. So when we can get that why in there early on in the conversation, when you're talking with someone, did you know that Jesus came so that you could have the fullness of life? Sometimes people think, what are you talking about abundance? But when you tell them in their own terms, when you say about, you know, fullness, or the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to communicate to people and get the message across that Jesus came so that they could prosper in every single area of their lives. They could have the fullness, His fullness in their life. Amen. And that's the blessing of knowing the truth. It's abundant life. It's life in full measure. It's life lived in the light of Jesus. Amen? You know, we need the fullness. If Linda leaves out, right, if she doesn't put full measure in one of her baking treats, then it doesn't taste as good, or it might taste awful, because you have to put the full measure. You have to have the full measure, don't you? When you're doing a recipe, it says, you know, you need a cup of sugar. You need to put a cup of sugar or a pound of butter. Is that too much? I don't know. A pound of butter. So if she leaves anything out of her baking, it's not as satisfying. And we got to, you know, I draw a parallel from that. Jesus came to give us the fullness of life so that we'd be satisfied. Amen. The question is, what has been given to us? The answer is access to abundant life, access to spiritual resources, access to the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Amen. And all of these things exist for one purpose: to enable us to accomplish God's plans and purpose for our life. Amen. We just need to make it known what's available through a relationship with Jesus. If we can tell people that, look, this is what's available now that you know Jesus, or this is what can be available to you if you get to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that's a winner. I believe it's a winner. I believe it's a winner. Amen. He is a gift that will never give out. He'll never be unreliable. Amen. How many gifts have you had that they stopped working on Boxing Day? We used to get a lot of them. we were experts in our house. It was usually Gary, but the first thing with a brand new toy is it would get stripped down completely. It would get completely stripped down and then rebuilt the wrong way. It's like, let's see how this works. It's brand new, it's working fine. Let's disassemble it and see what happens, you know. But you know what? God, Jesus is always reliable. He'll always perform as per the instructions. We can totally trust him. We can totally rely on him. And, you know, as a gift, he'll bring value to our life. And it'll increase our fulfillment and bring us joy. You know, and that's a great gift. When someone gives you a gift that brings you increase and it brings you joy and it fulfills you and it satisfies you, that's the greatest gift you can ever give somebody. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to finish off with this scripture here in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. And it says there, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. The free gift came to everybody, resulting in justification of life. And you know, God gave us Jesus fully. But when we receive, you know, he was fully given to us, but he has to be fully received. That is the key, one of the keys. He was completely given to us, but he needs to be completely received. Jesus was born unto us, but we need to be born again unto him. Amen? Amen. We need to be born again unto him. And so that's what the question, are we born? Are we born again unto him? And that's the message, that the Son of God was born for all of us. And will you be born again unto him? And that's that first one in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And so next week, we're looking at Jesus, our wonderful counselor. Then we're looking at Jesus, our mighty God. Then we're looking at Jesus, our everlasting Father. And then on Christmas Eve, we're looking at Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so I encourage you, start inviting people to come. Actually, before we close today, I'd like to maybe play that little invitation clip again because I enjoyed it so much last week, if that's available. But that's the thing. Maybe we can play it at the announcement time. But that's the thing, that we need to get people into a position where we can just say, listen, I just want to explain to you why Jesus came. You know, because this is a crazy time of year. It's black. Everyone's Black Friday'd out, and everything's going on. But you can say, "Listen, I just want to share with you why Jesus came." And when you can get the why in there, I believe that it's a life changer. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website www.bridge-church.com and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.